easy to use.
Yeah. It's a great way also to contact us and to join the show and join the conversation with one-touch dialing. That's pretty cool, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and then if you're out of range of our, you know, signal, you can pick us up on the app streaming.
Get it wherever you get your apps. Melissa, great show today. You have a good day.
Yeah, you too, James.
Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Victims of today's Israeli airstrikes on southern Gaza being treated at a crowded hospital in the Palestinian city of Rafah, where thousands have packed in, hoping to be allowed safe passage into Egypt ahead of an Israeli ground invasion. CBS's Linda Gradstein reports from Jerusalem.
You know, Gaza, there's really only two exits from Gaza, north to Israel and south to Egypt. That's the Rafah crossing. And so far, neither Israel nor Egypt has been willing to open that crossing. And there's something like 100 trucks of humanitarian aid waiting there and backed up.
President Biden is planning to fly out of Washington today for a rare wartime visit to Israel. The National Security Council's John Kirby tells CBS Mornings.
We're at a critical time here in what's going on with Israel, particularly for the humanitarian assistance front. And so the president believed that this was exactly the right time to go to get an update from Israeli officials about how things are going on the ground, what their intentions are going forward.
Hamas military wing claims an Israeli airstrike on the central Gaza Strip has killed one of its top militant commanders. We're learning more about a man who shot two Swedish soccer fans to death in Brussels. Correspondent Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
A Belgian federal prosecutor said they don't believe this attack was linked to the war between Israel and Hamas. The attacker said on social media he wanted to take revenge on Sweden. There were several incidents there this summer where the Quran, the holy book of Islam, was burned.
After the shooting, officials shut down a Belgian-Sweden soccer match, stranding 35,000 fans inside for hours. It's been more than a day, and police in Georgia are still searching for four men who escaped from a jail in Macon. One of them was being held on a murder charge. Bibb County Sheriff David Davis.
These inmates were able to leave out from a day room window and run out through a break in the fence.
Safety regulators have opened an investigation into GM's self-driving car. The National Highway Transportation Safety Administration is worried the cruise doesn't do enough to protect pedestrians. There have been four reports of injuries and other near misses in San Francisco. Two brothers from Sacramento, as well as their mother, have pleaded guilty to being part of a ring that shipped $600 million of catalytic converters from California to New Jersey. Jim Crisula.
Prosecutors say they were part of a national network of thieves, dealers, and processors who provided the stolen car parts to a metal refinery. 21 people have been charged in the case.
The Dow down 104. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamron Hall. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious, farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best, better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
O'Reilly Auto Parts' new Brake Best Select Pro brand raises the bar for the best aftermarket domestic brake pads and rotors available. For vehicle-specific friction formulations, quiet tech noise-canceling shims, and stainless steel hardware, choose Brake Best Select Pro. Professional-grade brakes from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Syphilis cases are on the rise in Wisconsin communities. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is calling for increased awareness and testing for the sexually transmitted infection. Cases of syphilis increased 19% from 2021 to 22. Congenital syphilis increased 81%. This is when the infection is passed from the mother to her unborn child. People with syphilis may not show symptoms, so testing is critical. A large number of congenital cases are due to lack of testing and lack of prenatal care. Syphilis is treatable with antibiotics. The Adams County Sheriff's Office had a very successful fundraiser last weekend with their Ridin' Side-by-Side with the Sheriff canine fundraiser. Over 90 machines and 185 riders enjoyed what turned out to be a beautiful day on Saturday. More than 150 businesses, organizations, and citizens donated to the event. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 59. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight lows around 46. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, highs level off around 60. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday with scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 39.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Tuesday, October 17th. Greg Bach is on the board and my Tuesday co-host, from Devil's Advocates Radio. You can hear them across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 4 to 6. Dominic Salvia. And I have to encourage people to watch us on the live stream. You can either do it on YouTube or Twitter. We dance, we sing, I have my eye rolls, and you can also see Dominic's very fancy backdrop this morning.
He looks like he is rowing across the lake.
What?
I have a fancy schmancy
great
man.
Green screen here at the Milwaukee Hidden Studio. Good to be with you, Jane, as always. Great, good to see you, man. Thanks.
Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, I just want to tell folks, next month, November 5th, we will be falling back. Daylight saving time will come to an end. And the Sunshine Protection Act never got anywhere last year, but I want to know how people feel about it, because I have very strong opinions.
Oh,
you do?
I know.
It's weird how that works. Really, shocking. Jane's got strong opinions.
Yeah, I know. It's going to shock you, but we want to get your take on daylight saving time. Should we keep it? Should it go away? What should we do? Should we just turn the lights off forever? That is coming up at 11 o'clock. 10:30, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us. And then at 11:30, we have a special guest. There's a women's conference happening in Milwaukee this weekend. Rachel O'Leary Carmona will be joining us at 11:30 to talk about the women's conference and what you can expect if you're going to be going to that. Maybe, you know, you would consider going if you learn a little bit more about it. But we are going to start things off, Dominic, and you and I connected by phone just a little bit ago. This kind of got lost on Friday. It kind of got buried, and there's so much news all the time. It's just easy to gloss over some of these things. But we're going to talk about the Republican efforts to get rid of Megan Wolf, who is the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because something happened on Friday that's kind of important, Dom.
Jane, this is very important, and I think it goes to the core of what some of the issues that I have with our Republican friends. Lots of articles on this. I saw the one at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, Molly Beck,
it's
the headline.
It's so good. Molly Beck is so good.
She's awesome. Despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack grounds to oust Megan Wolf.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know. Excuse me? Yeah,
Megan. We've been going around and round and around and round about this, man. People are getting fired up, you know, constitutionality, you know, is she in the position? Can they throw her out? All these things, Jane. And then when it comes down to it, when the rubber has to hit the road, right? And they have to file a legal brief and be honest about it. Well, at that point, only then do they say, well, yeah, no, actually, she's in the job legitimately, and we can't really do anything about it.
And we just did this because we wanted to muck things up. Okay, they didn't necessarily admit that, but they said this effort to oust Megan Wolf was merely symbolic.
Is that what it was?
It was just symbolic, Dominic.
It was performative politics.
Yeah,
huh?
It was for no reason at all except to keep their base fired up, thinking that the election was stolen, which we have found time and time and time again, it was not stolen.
And this goes back to remember when she was up for reappointment, and the Dems played it smart. They didn't vote, and so it was 3-0, so Republicans, and they said, well, they didn't have a quorum, right? They needed a majority. They needed 4 out of 6, not 3 out of 6. And even though that math wasn't there, even though it wasn't recognized as legal, quote unquote, the Republicans continued to move forward. Again, a little bit in the piece from Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, back at the time, they could have voted no, they didn't vote no. That would have been a tie vote. But it was unanimous. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. I mean, literally, the words came out of the mouth. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. Well, there's supposed to be 6 people voting. That would be, 50%. That's not 2/3, sir. So the whole thing, obviously ridiculous. And all the bantering and articles and discussions about it at the time, from then until now. And as Molly Beck points out in her fine report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in Monday's filing, though, LeMahieu claimed the opposite, admitting that the commission's 3-0 vote on Wolf did not effectuate an appointment. Wolf is lawfully in her current position as a holdover, and that the Senate has no power to act on an appointment where there is no pending appointment. Now, this is an updated version from what we saw yesterday, Jane. Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
LeMahieu, in a statement on Monday, maintained he had not contradicted his past comments.
No, quote, of course not.
No. The situation has been complicated procedurally, and the situation has changed a number of times. But since June, Senator LeMahieu has issued statements consistent with the filing. I'm not so sure about that, Jane.
Well, and wasn't Robin Voss just on WISN-TV on Upfront on Sunday kind of contradicting the filing that was released on Friday?
Yeah, Beck also points this out. Legislative leader said in the filing that the Legislature Joint Committee on Legislative Organization has no power to appoint interim administrator while Wolf is holding over, even though Voss on Sunday said the committee should begin the process of replacing her.
For which
what? And Robin Voss knew what was in the filings, right? So he knew it. He gets out there and he's saying this on Sunday that we should start the process. But when they file the paper, when the rubber hits the road, they have to be honest. They admit they have no power to appoint an interim administrator while Administrator Wolf is holding over.
It's just remarkable to me that you can contradict yourself within a day. And it's just like, yeah, well, this is just how we do business now. Why would your constituents believe anything you say?
That's the great point. And this becomes politicians lie, the whole thing. And I'm not going to do it both sides of them. I think we're in a different spot right now, my personal opinion. But even if you accept the fact that that's the case, then where's the self-respect for the Republicans and the MAGAs and the GOP? I mean, you have this guy up there, telling you, and it's not just Voss, it's also LeMahieu, it's also Kapinga, right?
Right.
What they're telling you. Oh, this is, we got to do something. She's there illegally, and this is wrong, and fired up. And when it comes down to it, no, that's not the case. And why would you, where's the self-respect? Really? Would you, in a workplace situation, in a relationship situation, when is that ever acceptable? And why is it acceptable in a political situation?
Well, and not to mention all the taxpayer dollars involved in these lawsuits that are pointless, right?
No, right.
It all costs money.
Josh Call filed, right? Josh is the response to Josh Call. He's the Attorney General, State of Wisconsin. Well, he gets paid by the tax dollars, right? Right.
Yeah.
Well, who are the defendants in this case? Well, of course, it's the Republicans, LeMahieu and Voss and Kapinga and these other folks. Well, they have, using either state resources, but probably external resources to pay for attorneys, also taxpayer dollars, right?
Right.
The whole judiciary system itself is a socialist dollars going towards our justice system also. So we pay, and all their what I don't know what they're trying to do. I imagine they just want to keep their base. We're funding, we're subsidizing the Republicans, keeping their base fired up on lies. And that's problematic, Jane.
Absolutely. And you make a really good point that all of Wisconsin taxpayers are funding performative politics, right? Because it's just
wasting the court's time.
Yeah, it's just theater. They knew that they did not have standing to oust her or replace her. Oh, let's go ahead and file it anyway. Let's just waste a little more time. Let's drag this out. Let's keep feeding the doubt that our elections are a mess. Our elections are not a mess. Our elections are not rigged. There are not ballots coming in from, where did they say that they were, from Venezuela or whatever? Hugo Chavez? I mean, the loony conspiracies, it's astonishing. And yet, there is a certain part of the electorate that just laps it up.
It is a unhealthy relationship. And I mean this sincerely. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go say, you know, cult deprogramming kind of thing. But if you look to the Republicans and the GOP here in the state of Wisconsin and as your guide to what we should do or what you should do and how you should behave and what you should think as far as politics are concerned and those kinds of things, well, then they're steering you wrong. And if you continue to accept that, even if it's right in front of your face and we're telling you it's in the paper, you can really do a side by side, read the legal document, and then watch what Voss said on Sunday.
Right.
Those things are contradictory. I mean, exactly 100% contradictory. Both of them cannot be true. One of them is a falsehood. One of them is a lie. And I'm betting it's not the one that they filed with a court.
Again, just to reiterate this, and this is from a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for Molly Beck, who does a great job. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate President Chris Kapenga admitting in a new court filing their efforts to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic, and that Wolf is legally in her current position. So it was for nothing. It was for grins and giggles.
Well, that's what you do when you have absolutely no platform to run on or try to get done. Nothing.
Well, and their policies are not popular, and we've talked about that before as well.
Right.
So people don't like their policies. So instead of changing their policies, they change the way they just make it more difficult for people to vote, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it harder for you to cast your ballot. I don't care if you don't like my policies. Again, stick our fingers in our ears, go la, 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 and keep getting paid and keep getting per diems and keep popping popcorn and life is good.
Other people's money. I mean, what effort? I mean, literally, I mean, the court has nothing else to do. Pardon me. You know, we don't have, as a state, actual problems and actually money in the bank that we can use to solve some of these real problems, real life problems that we have. And they're wandering around doing symbolic, you know, dances to what end? Of course, to keep the base motivated on your dime, Jane, on your dime, Greg, on your dime, Republicans. They're using you.
Yes.
They're abusing you. They're lying to you, man.
It should
take that to heart.
It should be upsetting to people. People should be, I don't know, not happy.
I'm upset for them, Jane.
Oh, and you do have really good upset too, Dominic. All right. We're coming up against the break. You can always chime in. You can text and or call 844-967-2789. If you're watching a live stream, you can also leave a comment there. We will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All that pressure got you down.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, up just soft on the potty. Let's just muscle roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked.
It's our potty fight.
She's crushing it, please, so my cheeks feel fine.
So worth it.
Everybody wanna touch the sky.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
It's that time of year where things go bump in the night. Ghosts and ghouls and goblins are spotted roaming the foggy late night landscape, preparing for Halloween. Coming soon, there will be tricks and treats, costumes and fun. But remember, there's only one thing more scary and disturbing than vampires, witches, or even clowns. The most frightening thing of all, an old, rickety, dark and dirty porta potty. Don't let the thought of a porta potty frighten you. Crockett Septic has a huge inventory of porta potties available for events, parties, and promotions, and they're always clean and comfortable. Stay away from those nasty porta coffins and call Crockett Septic for a porta potty experience that won't scare the well, you know, out of you. From Rome to Rudolph in Junction City, Grand Rapids, and Nakusa, all the way to Point and Plover, Crockett Septic can handle your porta potty needs, holding tanks and septic pumping too. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456.
If you're looking to get in the spirit of Halloween, look no further than the Trading Post in Wisconsin Rapids. They have quality goods at affordable prices with items changing daily. Get decked out for the season at the Trading Post, the store you can get lost in.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy tonight. Lows dip down to about 41. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs around 63. Cloudy skies expected. Upper 50s Thursday and Friday with showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Very dramatic this morning, Greg Buck.
It's like one of the greatest theme songs that's ever happened, and it's applicable to what we will be talking about soon.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we're talking. We're going to move on to Jim Jordan, but I want to go back to a couple of texts we were talking about. Republican leadership in Wisconsin essentially admitting on Friday that their efforts to oust Megan Wolf, who's the commissioner of the or the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, basically had no basis in reality and was just symbolic because they think that's fun, apparently. 844-967-2789 from the 262. Yesterday, Dominic was cussing, no, on the Devil's on the Devil's Advocate show about this issue. I would just like to add a no naughty word to the GOP having no grounds to remove her. And from the 541, if a candidate felt the election process wasn't fair, why would you subject yourself to such a system and not move on to another career? If a person felt the election system is being rigged, why not volunteer as an election worker to ensure that it is fair? And number three, can citizens of Wisconsin file suit against these individuals to force them to pay for the court costs of their self-proclaimed symbolic lawsuit?
Right.
I don't know if we could. Could we sue them?
We can sue anyone we want.
We want our money back.
Yeah.
And if it fails, you know, it's all about the symbolism, right? It doesn't matter if there's legal merit or not, as long as we are providing the right symbolism.
Exactly.
That's what really matters.
Of course.
I mean, if they're willing to do everything they're doing right now and say it was symbolic, it was a gesture, it was whatever, then I feel like we are within our rights as Americans and taxpayers and the people funding these operations to say, all right, here's some more symbolism. We're going to sue the pants off of you because you wasted our money. Party of responsibility and always saying things like, well, why can't you just follow a budget? Really?
Yes.
It's easier with other people's money, Greg.
Yep, they're really good at that. All right, we're going to move on to Ohio Republican Jim Jordan. They may actually hold a vote at noon today, I saw, to see if he will get enough votes to become Speaker of the House. And something that really jumped out to me, Republican Kelly Armstrong from North Dakota, who nominated Jordan for speaker, he said essentially, Jordan is the only person who can stop right-wing pro-Trump media from continually crucifying their House majority. So they're picking Jim Jordan so Sean Hannity won't be mean to them.
Right. Wow.
Snowflakes.
Wow.
I know. And the other thing that kind of jumped out at me is, and I saw this on Twitter and I have not been able to verify it yet, but that a producer for Hannity was actually contacting Republican House members to find out how they were going to vote on this. So they could, what, share it with their audience?
Yeah, there's like a boilerplate letter going around with Mr. Representative XXX. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? What do you do about this? What do you do about that? Yes, that, I mean, so what? Sean Hannity from Fox News is now the whip for the Republicans in the House? I mean, the Republican Party is a disarray.
Well, and just look back to January 6th and the texts that were flying between all of these Fox people and the White House. If when Barack Obama was president, if Rachel Maddow had been texting him on a regular basis, trying to help his campaign, the number of exploding heads would be uncountable.
We got one of those texts that said, "Hey, Mr. President, nice tan suit." Oh, no!
the drama. Oh, the scandal.
Good old days.
The fancy mustard. Oh, he's a fancy mustard person.
You remember the Tea Party? They were adorable.
Especially the hats.
Oh, yeah.
The hats were special.
The thing about, and I think it was Greg Sargent, I saw it yesterday, he's a columnist at the Washington Post, put out a tweet from some of the comments from the J6 committee about Jim Jordan and what he did and the conversations he had and who he talked to. Of course, Jim Jordan was subpoenaed. He didn't show up.
No.
You know, the head of Judiciary Committee defying a lawful subpoena, now going to be what? Potentially Speaker of the House, third in line to the presidency, and he doesn't follow, you know, their own laws, quote unquote.
Why aren't these people being arrested for that?
I don't get it, Greg. For real, I mean, Jim Jordan was neck deep in all of this. He talked to Trump several times. He talked to Rudy several times that day. He's been out there pushing the stop the steal, the fraud. He's been out there. He's been a main point of that. He's been, I would say, probably on the very short list of some of the biggest supporters of Donald Trump in the Republican caucus right now. And of course, what? It's not McCarthy, right? So what's his name? He bowed out last week.
Oh, Scalise.
Scalise bowed out last week, and now it's down to Jim Jordan, let alone the sexual abuse stuff that he apparently turned an eye to allegedly when he was a coach in college. I mean, Wow. Really rising to the top. This is the best the Republicans have to offer. You got to be kidding me. And there's real work that needs to get done. And Jim Jordan's your guy.
But they're not concerned about doing things for their constituents. Again, this is more everything. The Republican Party now is just, it's all symbolism. It's just all symbolic. They don't actually have to accomplish anything. And for anyone who thinks that if Donald Trump, who will likely be the Republican nominee for president, if he loses in 2024, you think Jim Jordan is going to do the right thing? If Donald Trump comes out screaming again, saying, "It was rigged, I was cheated, I was robbed," what do you think Jim Jordan's going to do?
Oh, I want more Jane impression of Donald Trump. That's what I want right there.
Oh, that wasn't that good.
Oh, but it was enough.
It was enough. All right, we're going to be moving on. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us after we get back from the bottom of the hour news. I hope you will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Syphilis cases are on the rise in Wisconsin communities. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is calling for increased awareness and testing for the sexually transmitted infection. Cases of syphilis increased 19% from 2021 to 22. Congenital syphilis increased 81%. This is when the infection is passed from the mother to her unborn child. People with syphilis may not show symptoms, so testing is critical. A large number of congenital cases are due to lack of testing and lack of prenatal care. Syphilis is treatable with antibiotics. The Adams County Sheriff's Office had a very successful fundraiser last weekend with their Ridin' Side-by-Side with the Sheriff canine fundraiser. Over 90 machines and 185 riders enjoyed what turned out to be a beautiful day on Saturday. More than 150 businesses, organizations, and citizens donated to the event. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 59. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tonight lows around 46. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, highs level off around 60. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday with scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 39.
Population area is a 10-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning column. That's no small thing, Dan Schaefer.
Hey, Dan. Well, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, we have done
Our scrappy little independent publication has indeed won 10 Milwaukee Press Club Awards. So thank you for pointing that out. Many people are saying this.
Many people are.
See, I just walk around and be like, you guys know how handsome Dan Schaefer is? That's all I do. I mean, sorry, I'll mention the paper more. Sorry.
Well, speaking of your award-winning articles, your recent one is really, really excellent. I know you want a Brewers, AmFam Field deal to be done, but as you say in this recent column, this deal ain't it.
This deal is not a home run. I think we have time to get it done right, and I think the priority for state lawmakers right now should be to get this deal done right and not just rush it around the bases and head home for the rest of the session here. I'm going to force so many baseball puns on you today. Greg's loving them, like you see on the video stream.
Dan, I'm here for it.
But as I said in the piece, I think, you know, we should treat this more like a seventh inning stretch than the bottom of the ninth. I think there's room to improve this deal as it goes through the process here. There's going to be a big vote today in a full vote of the state assembly. The session begins at 1 p.m. So that is going to be something to watch, but you know, I had to weigh in on it. And so, yes, like you mentioned, I wrote a column about it. I think the deal as currently constructed is not one that we should support, but I think but I'm not an ideologue on this. I don't think I'm not completely opposed to any stadium funding in any capacity. And I think, you know, if we look at the recent example of the deal to fund Fiserv Forum and create the Deer District and foster all kinds of development downtown, I think we should be using that as a successful model for how to construct this Brewers deal. And frankly, the Brewers deal is just much, much worse than the one to fund the Bucks. You know, it's more public funding in the Brewers deal total than the total private and public contribution for the Bucks deal. It's just a massive, massive amount of money. And I think it, instead of, you know, wanting to have the type of, you know, transformative impact that the Bucks Arena did and wanting to foster development downtown, this one doesn't really look to do that as much. And why Brewers and officials and others backing this deal are standing in the way of wanting to generate economic development around the stadium is just incredibly puzzling to me. And then there's also the piece of the local contribution. You know, this was funded for so many years as you know, the five county stadium tax. And now wealthier counties surrounding Milwaukee County, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, and Racine, they don't have to pay anything anymore in this deal. So I think that should change too. I think there are places to improve this deal, but we are for some reason rushing this to the finish line, even though there are seven more years on the lease. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, Dan, it seems like the Milwaukee Brewers themselves kind of strike out on this deal. They're only putting in $100 million. And the Bucks ownership group put in, what, almost two and a half, three times that amount?
Yeah, I would say, you know, swing and a miss here from the Brewers ownership.
I changed my mind. I'm over this. I'm so over this.
We got a half hour yet, Craig. You better hang in there. Dan, what is the rush, though? Like you said, we've got this the current deal lasts for another 7 years. So they can prove they can actually do something? What's the rush?
You know, I think there are some requirements within the way the stadium district is constructed. But, you know, as I reported in my column today, there is a piece of the balance sheet within the stadium district that is really not being discussed. They have tens of million dollars in treasury bonds that could provide a short-term fix to address some of the maintenance and upgrades that they need. So even if they're saying, hey, we're cash poor right now, we need to make these upgrades to you know, satisfy the terms of our lease, you know, they could tap into those bonds as well. So I think what I really don't understand is why the urgency to do this now. I really think the priority for state lawmakers right now should be to get this deal done right, not just to get this deal done, because this is going to have impact for decades.
Right.
And I think, you know, cementing this in its current form where it has a lot of problems would be a mistake.
Greg, did you want it?
So I asked, I can't remember if it was J.R. Radcliffe or
Paul Noonan
this, but then this is, I understand if there's not a clear answer on this, but I feel like, could it possibly be that one of the reasons why this is such a stuck in the mud situation is because the Brewers aren't really, like, I feel like when the Bucks came to us with the idea of revamping the Deer District, of giving us this whole new arena, this and better looking downtown area, it also came with this thing of like, we want to play to win, we want a championship, we want to get a good team, we want to get great players, and we want to make this a championship town. And there was excitement and electricity on that. Some people disagreed with the funding, but there was still the idea that the Bucks organization were in it for the long haul with this city. I don't feel like we get that from the Brewers. I don't feel like we have any sort of, because they don't have, like you've talked about having a beer district. There's no sense of, like, it's not a sense of like, let's see how we can revamp this whole area and let's see if we can bring a ring to Milwaukee after so many decades of not having it. Is that part of the reason? It's just that the Brewers organization is sort of like, can we have our money, please? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the Bucks approached this in such a better way than the Brewers have gone about it. And I think the Brewers have just not had the eye on the transformative impact of this investment. Like, if you're going to spend hundreds of million dollars on something, you should generate some economic development, some change in the immediate footprint of that. And I think, you know, I think it was Rick Schlesinger from the Brewers went on local TV and said they really want to preserve tailgate culture. And I think you can preserve tailgate culture by using, I don't know, 10,000 of the 12,000 parking spots that they have around American Family Field and still, you know, actually generate some economic development for the reason. Like, if the logic of spending this type of money is to generate economic development, why are they standing in the way of that in their immediate footprint? It makes absolutely no sense.
Our guest is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. His latest article is talking about the proposed deal to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. And you're kind of saying, Dan, the deal is okay, but it's close, but no cigar, not yet. And you were just mentioning the parking spaces outside AmFam Field. They have more parking there than they do at Disney World.
Right.
Just wrap your brain around that. That's astonishing to me. And then their refusal, as you said, to even consider developing that into something that will also generate revenue. That makes no sense.
Yeah. And they added something to kind of placate some of those concerns in the latest round of amendments. They added kind of what the city is referring to as a pathway to development, where they're creating a kind of a working group to study what development would look like. That's as far as they've gone on this. They've been very resistant to opening this up. You know, you see in ballparks all over the country, there's a deal, you know, in Las Vegas and Tampa Bay and Kansas City, and they're all talking about creating more around their stadium so it is a destination 365 days a year instead of just the 80-some home games that you might have during the baseball season. So I think that is a big piece of it here too. And I think, you know, I quoted a Democratic Assembly representative in my piece, Evan Goyke, who's an influential member of the caucus, longtime member of the Joint Finance Committee. He wrote in his newsletter to constituents over the weekend that he wanted to get to a yes, but he's a no on this deal. He backed the Fiserv Forum deal. He was one of the, you know, that is a deal that required Democratic votes in order for it to pass, because not every Republican was on board with that deal. And I think much the same dynamics are going to be here as well. Now, I do expect that this deal will pass today in the state assembly, but I think Evan Goyke is right to say that, you know, this deal isn't one. You know, I think he quoted as saying, approach this issue with the hopes of supporting it, but I cannot support it. And I think this is a significantly worse deal than the one to fund Fiserv Forum. And I think the fact that we are not learning from that successful example in recent history is really a frustrating aspect of this.
Well, it sort of, I guess, goes back to what I was just saying, is like, it kind of, I mean, I don't know, as a Brewers fan, as the team, especially this season, there's a lack of vision for the team itself. It seems like there's a lack of vision for the organization too, when there is just, I mean, these are business people. These are business people, and these opportunities will increase the valuation of the team and make them more money, and they're just still simply like, let's give me money. Let's play some baseball.
844-967-2789. If you want to check in, you can call, you can text at 844-96-PARTY. John from the Fall says, we've heard over and over the Brewers don't own the stadium they play in. It's owned by the taxpayers. Did anybody ever bother to ask why we don't just raise their rent to pay for the upgrades that they want? That's what landlords do when their tenants want improvements.
They'll probably threaten to leave then.
Yeah, I think there are some details in that lease agreement that would, I might be a little bit off in the exact numbers here, but I think there's a requirement that says that they have to stay in like the top 50% of ballparks in the country for this. So they need to have, and that was in the original legislation. So like, there's some very complicated pieces of this deal, but it is really important to note that the state owns the ballpark. And by doing nothing, I think, you know, I was critical of the people who have said we shouldn't do anything for this deal as well, because doing nothing is not a good option either. We don't want the Brewers to leave. We don't want, you know, American Family Field to sit there empty without its primary tenant. We don't want, you know, you can question the degree to which there is economic development generated by these stadium deals, but we don't want any of that to leave. So I think you need to find a way to get to a workable deal here. And you have so many people in favor of it. You know, why not work to improve it instead of just, you know, taking your ball and going home, I guess.
Well, right? Dan, I would mention the Pontiac Silver Dome, where the Detroit Lions used to play, is now an Amazon site. So there are other uses and things that can be done. Your piece, you break down some of the funding, $411 million in state funding, $135 million in local funding split between the city and Milwaukee County, and $100 million from the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, throw in maybe a few more dollars from the Brewers, and maybe some development piece. What do you see as the formula to get you, Dan Schaefer, to a yes?
Yeah, I think it's the Deer District development, or Beer District development is one thing. And I think adding a ticket surcharge would that ease the burden on local taxpayers and shift it to the people who actually use the stadium. You know, that is a key piece of the Fiserv Forum deal. I think it's a no-brainer to include it here as well. I think they've talked about adding that on the state Senate side. We'll see if that actually comes to fruition, though, because they talked about that in amendments to the assembly, too.
Well, no matter what happens, it's still going to get signed by Governor Tony Evers. Any sense on where he's at on the current incarnation of this deal?
Yeah, he has signaled that he's going to support it. He said, I think the Wisconsin State Journal quoted him a couple weeks ago, that said, anything that comes across my desk, I'm likely to support. So that typical veto threat that we see from the governor as things get negotiated in the legislature. Not exactly here this time around.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to weigh in on the pending Brewers deal, I see you on the phone, and I've got your text lines up as well. We will be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity,
Our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything. Eventually, they're going to bump their heads or scrape their knees. But we can protect them from six types of cancer. HPV, or human papillomavirus, is a common, preventable virus that can cause cancer later in life. The HPV vaccine prevents human papillomavirus and all the cancers it can cause. The American Cancer Society recommends getting your sons and daughters the HPV vaccine starting at age 9 to protect them later in life.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Friday with highs in the upper 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAU.
Wisconsin, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. My Tuesday co-host from Devil's Advocates, Dominic Salvia. And every Tuesday at 10:30, we get recombobulated with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, talking about your latest column, Dan, about the current Brewers deal and how it could be better. It's just not great yet. So we're taking your calls and your texts at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Marty hung on through the break. Thank you so much, Marty, from Milwaukee. Good morning. What do you think about this?
Good morning, all. Thank you so much for taking my call. Just some really important facts I have not heard or read anywhere, and I think they're important. Number one, the stadium is not in the city of Milwaukee. That is number one. People believe that it's in the city. It is not in the city. That sits on VA land. That is federal land set aside by Abraham Lincoln's administration way back in 1860-something, and that land is federal land. On that land, when they got the agreement to build the stadium originally back in 1949, 1950, there was a deed restriction put on the land, which requires the ballpark to put up 500 tickets every day, every game, every event for veterans. I do not believe that's ever been done. Also, when the state puts in $411 million, does that not include the city of Milwaukee? Milwaukee is part of Wisconsin, last I checked. Milwaukee is part of the county, and now Milwaukee is going to pay its own tax. So that, in my mind, that looks like triple taxing the city of Milwaukee. And all these other cities and counties aren't involved in this funding, but they all get to keep their seats on the board, which is an all-white board, usually. It really does not address the inequity that goes on at the stadium. Is that stadium for all the people in the region, or is that just for the, you know what I'm saying? There are no events for African-Americans. There are few events for Mexican-Americans. This entire stadium is for a certain segment of the population, yet they come to the city of Milwaukee with 300,000 people of color and ask them to pay for the stadium. I'm sorry, I appreciate you listening, but those are some important points that have not been addressed.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely, Marty. Thank you so much. And I think you make an excellent point about the fact that they love sticking it to Milwaukee. They just do. The Republican lawmakers in Madison, Tommy Thompson said it years ago, stick it to Milwaukee. They adopted it then. That has never gone away as far as I can see.
Yeah, this deal definitely falls hardest on I don't know, I guess someone like me who lives in the city of Milwaukee. I'm getting taxed as a city resident and a county resident and a resident in the state of Wisconsin.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the suburban counties, I think they can afford it. I think they could afford to contribute a little bit to this deal. And I think using the MMAC's own data from their commission study, which, surprise, said that it was a great idea to fund the ballpark. And you can see a piece on the recombobulation area from Marquette professor Phil Rocco breaking down why that might not actually be the case. But the majority of the people who attend games at Miller Park are from outside of Milwaukee County.
Right.
Again, majority of the people who attend games are from outside.
Like over 60%, if I remember, Dan. Is that
exactly?
Is that
right? Yeah. It is. It is. I think it's right around that 60% number. So it is frustrating that the wealthier suburban communities are cut out of this deal, and Milwaukee, and we just had this debate about shared revenue. It was one of the biggest deals of the year.
Yes.
We needed a local sales tax for the city and county to get away from the brink of bankruptcy that the state had pushed us to from blocking local revenue and defunding shared revenue for years and years and years and decades. And as soon as that deal is passed, they come right back to our pockets asking for it. I think that is one of the most distressing and uncomfortable parts of this deal. And I know there are a couple things that they added and amendments that are going to be good for the city and county in the long term. And those, again, there are pieces of this deal that are good. A change in the sales tax collection, the way they collect sales taxes through the Department of Revenue, giving ultimately more funding to the city and the county in the long term, that's a really good thing. But the fact that it only falls on Milwaukee County is not a good thing.
And I want the Brewers to kick in more. That was part of the Fiserv deal. I want those guys who can sell their 20,000 square foot mansion in California for $73 million to have to kick in a little more. The third villa in France is just going to have to wait. 844-967-2789. Price from Texas has been waiting. Good morning, Price.
Good morning. I just want to kind of bring up to kind of something else that's really in Dan's wheelhouse, too, is down here we've got the FC Dallas soccer team, which has even fewer games than Miller Park, County Stadium, AmPam, whatever. And right across the street from it is just all industrial, but then plopped right in the middle is just a giant apartment complex. And that those parking lots, if you build that housing, people are going to move into that housing. It's not going to sit there vacant. It's going to be a moneymaker. So that area there that no one parks in, even when the game was full for the playoffs, there were still no cars parked there. Turn that into housing, develop it, put some small grocery store or something like that there. I mean, that would be just develop that area and you'll see it boom. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Bryce. You can always check in at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. State funding of AmFam Field should be tied to home runs. For every home, for every home run by the Brewers, the state tosses in $1,000. Come on.
There
performance-based, right?
Yeah.
Performance-based payment.
It's more creative than the approach they're bringing to this. I mean, come on. You gotta have some creativity in these deals. And Jane, I was making a bet here on when you would bring up that California
right.
mansion. I had it in our first segment. So you beat the over under there for me.
It makes me crazy, Dan. And you're the one who wrote the article that brought that to my attention. That drives me cuckoo. It really does.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
That we just accept this and it's fine.
Yeah.
That I don't understand our willingness to say, you're right, rich person, you should keep all your money. And we'll just give you everything that you want. Because you're the job creators. I'm not feeling that.
Yeah, it's a real foul ball there, right?
Dan Schaefer from
that 11th award going away.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area joins us every Tuesday at 10:30. Thank you so very much, Dan. Really appreciate you. Read his column on this. It's fantastic, and it's longer than any college paper I have ever written. But check it out. Dan Schaefer, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
We will be back after the top of the hour news to talk about daylight saving time. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Want to get out of just about anything and look like an earth-saving hero? Just use the environment excuse. High school reunion? Ooh, sorry, can't. Planetary obligations. Unfortunate bridesmaid's dress. Unfortunately, you promised the climate you'd buy more vintage. Chauffeuring teens? Yeah, the Earth really needs them to hoof it. That's right, the environment is always the best excuse. So go ahead, ask your bae to dim all the lights because carbon emissions. Tell your dad-botted dad to eat more plants. For the planet, obviously. Kindly tell the kids to stop asking for a new phone. I mean, e-waste, right? Find your out and opt in to cutting carbon. Just visit theenvironmentexcuse.org. A public service announcement brought to you by WildAid.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248